Here in Philadelphia, the temperatures are expected to climb up.
The heat is unbearable, and for many, inescapable.
5 years, and with the humidity, it's going to feel like 110. Very dangerous here in Philadelphia.
All over Germany, where dramatically high temperatures have made this July the second hottest since 1901. And the heat wave that's currently sweeping over the whole of the European continent.
A heat wave that began in the west built to a sweltering crescendo as it moved east.
Heat wave. Central Canada is baking, with Humidex readings in the high 40s. Will all those air conditioners bring on a brownout?
And folks, I'm here to tell you, none of those media reports mentioned the words global warming. In fact, sometimes we find out from the media that roasting in the summer heat that will kill people, hundreds of people, thousands of people around the world, is just a lot of fun.
Now, who cares if it's over 100?
So why not celebrate the 21st birthday of his
father? Today my lucky day because it's 100 degrees plus.
Still there's no let up. France faces another stifling, sleepless night and a blistering day.
This is Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock, and we're not going to pull any punches here. We may find out from James Lovelock that it's already too late to avoid catastrophic climate change. Maybe it's time to think about that property up in the Yukon, Alaska, Scandinavia, or Siberia. Let's find out.
The Earth's physical condition is seriously ill, he wrote, and soon to pass into a morbid fever that may last as long as 100,000 years.
James Lovelock sees much of the Earth becoming an arid wasteland by the end of this century.
The world, when it gets very hot, will not be able to produce anything like as much food as it does now. So, quite literally, billions of us are going to be faced with starvation. I suspect that people will be migrating towards the better, more comfortable regions of the Earth, like the Arctic Basin particularly. I'm told that President Putin actually said at a climate meeting, well, climate change is going to be good for Russia. It'll make Siberia a really flourishing and special place. And to an extent, he may be right.
It's warm in the Arctic as well. Too warm. There's way less ice than there should be.
We reckon in about 20 or 30 years, all of the floating ice in the Arctic, that's an area as big as the United States, will be melted and you'll be able to take a sailboat to the North Pole. Now that's pretty big change, and you can't really deny that.
The world is catching a fever.
Just who is this thundering thug who promises a billion dead? Like a self-genocide, a well-oiled genocide. He's a fellow of the Royal Society, a very British scientist. He has degrees in chemistry, medicine, biophysics, and papers in all of those fields. He invented the electron capture detector that showed pesticide residues were widely distributed almost everywhere. And it also was used to show the distribution of CFCs in the atmosphere, and his discovery led to the pioneering paper by Molina and Rowland that forecast and proved ozone depletion. Now at age 87, this pioneering scientist, inventor, and self-proclaimed environmentalist tells us that billions of us are doomed, that the climate is wrecked. Is he right this time?
He believes that as the century progresses, the temperature will rise 8 degrees centigrade in temperate regions and 5 degrees in the tropics.
I think there is a great danger that the system has reached a point where it will not go back, whatever we do. And to look at it at its least value, nearly all climate scientists are agreed that if we could stop all fossil fuel burning magically today, it would still take 1,000 or more years before things got back to normal. We in a sense, have already changed the Earth far beyond its normal state, and it won't recover for quite a long time.
In a fossil-driven world, heat itself becomes a cause of more heat. Humans crank up the air conditioning, all fed by oil and coal-fired generating plants, the very sources of more global warming gases. If the cycle runs away uninterrupted, we'll all need machines to cool the dirty air. The outside, the environment, will be too hot for most animal life.
Air conditioners in overdrive are pushing power usage to record levels. In the control room for ISO New England, they're working to prevent the kind of heat-triggered blackout that crippled the Northeast in 2003.
Just when we need to use less and less energy per capita, we're gobbling up more and more. In 100-plus degree temperatures across America in July, demand hit 138,000 megawatts, breaking the previous record of 133,000 set in July of 2005. New electricity records were set in dozens of states, including New York, Texas, and California. In Canada, Ontario also beat the previous year's record use, soaking up 27,000 megawatts. Instead of conservation, cutting back to 1990 levels proposed by the Kyoto Protocol, North Americans are engaged in runaway energy use. The heat begets more heat. There were brownouts, blackouts, evacuations, and hundreds of heat-related deaths. Oh yes, and Mel Gibson got arrested for drunk driving. You heard about that.
We call ourselves the New Yorkers who want to aid the rapid rise of global warming.
On the second day of August 2006, New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg declared a state of heat emergency. The famous lights of Times Square and the Empire State Building were turned off to conserve energy.
Keep your air conditioner going. Keep those light bulbs brightly glowing.
Let's look at what you say about the Earth's condition soon to pass into a morbid fever that may last as long as 100,000 years, and you predict that this will happen well within the current century. What level of certainty do you have for this?
Modestly high. It's based mainly on what happened to the Earth 55 million years ago. There was an accidental geological release into the atmosphere of somewhere over a million tons of carbon dioxide. And it caused a warm-up of 8 degrees Celsius in temperate regions and 5 degrees in the tropics. And it took over 100,000, possibly 200,000 years before this effect calmed down and things returned to normal again. Now, we've put into the air already about half that much carbon dioxide, and if we go on as we are, in 30 years we will have put in a million tons, which is in the same order as what happened that 55 million years ago. But much more serious than that, we have in the interval taken off the farmland about 40% of the natural ecosystems of the Earth that were being used to regulate climate. So it's in a much worse state than it was then. And in addition, the sun is now 0.5% hotter than it was 55 million years ago. Taking all this together, things look pretty grim.
Lovelock believes that personal efforts by each of us will lead to no solution at all. He thinks that big governments have to move and move fast, and he compares their current efforts, well, to the failures of Munich to stop Hitler in Nazi Germany.
I tend to regard the very serious and earnest attempts that have been made at meetings like Kyoto to avoid climate change by political action as very like the Munich meeting before World War II. It was run by good intentions, but almost wholly impractical.
So now we face the heat. On Monday, triple-digit temperatures literally smothered the country, and today will be worse. Every city from Oklahoma to New Hampshire is expected to soar into the 90s and higher. Some cities like Richmond, Virginia, Baltimore, and Newark will hit 103 degrees and feel like 115.
There's a tipping point at which heat-related illnesses and deaths can increase rapidly.
This is quite frightening. And the wind was very, very strong at the time, about 100 kilometres an hour, and very, very hot, like a hairdryer. It's a fact that it's getting warmer earlier every year, and I think we're going to have more and more fires. It's bound to happen again,
you know.
It's too late to change the course of events now. And for this reason, I think what we have to do is to prepare our adaptation to the changes that's going to come, and they're going to require an immense amount of effort, and each nation will have to treat the problem according to its needs rather than try and treat the whole problem globally, which is impossible. For example, in the British Isles, we'll have to worry about inundation, because sea level rise and fiercer storms will flood the small amounts of good farmland we've got in East Anglia in no time. We better start building dikes to stop it happening. And the same is true of London. We've got some protection there from the Thames Barrier, but it looks as if that's not going to hold up for too many more years.
Is it really too late? Could James Lovelock simply be wrong in his predictions? He's certainly been quite wrong before. Yes, his electron capture machine showed the growing burden of chlorofluorocarbons in the atmosphere, but in an article in the journal Nature in 1973, he concluded these CFCs constitute no conceivable hazard. In his later book, Homage to Gaia, Lovelock admits he appeared before the 1974 congressional hearing on CFCs as, quote, the principal witness for the industry's defense. He was totally wrong. Lovelock also acknowledges his push to remove English hedgerows to help the cattle industry was an ecological disaster. He writes, I regret to say I played a small part in this act of national ecocide. I loved the English countryside passionately, yet I was as thoughtlessly responsible for its destruction as was a greedy shareholder of an agribusiness firm. End quote. And Lovelock has blundered time and time again on the issue of nuclear power. He's been a passionate advocate of building plenty of nuclear reactors since the 1970s. This love of all things nuclear has led to remarkable errors from a scientist. For example, he continues to maintain that the Chernobyl nuclear power meltdown in the Ukraine caused only 45 deaths. The World Health Organization found Chernobyl caused tens of thousands of deaths, and studies by Greenpeace and others, including looking at the way that thyroids were damaged, conclude that hundreds of thousands will die prematurely due to Chernobyl radiation. But Lovelock still sticks to just 45 deaths. He's so pro-nuclear that one interviewer reports Lovelock ready to keep a suitcase of nuclear waste in his garden shed, just to show how safe it is, even with his grandchildren around. Writing in the Daily Telegraph of 2001, Lovelock called the dangers of nuclear power imaginary. He appears at nuclear industry forums leading the cheering section. We also have to keep in mind Lovelock's long-standing position in the upper realms of the British establishment. While working for Shell in the 1970s, he often met with the controlling owner, Lord Rothschild. Like some others in the British upper class, including Prince Charles, Lovelock may consider Earth's population is far too great, a threat to the environment and wealth as well. So his vision of billions of humans dying off from climate-driven hunger in this century may express his own desires.
I don't doubt that the probability that billions may die before the end of this century is quite high.
He's also been involved with the CIA and MI5 and developed applications and inventions for the military. So Lovelock has his own agenda and blind spots. When it comes to the new heat age, Lovelock arrives as both a scientist and environmentalist. His claims are based on the worst-case scenario developed by the scientists on the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC. But it is still possible, if we act strongly within the next 5 or 10 years, that the worst may not happen. Although, given the coal-fired industrialization in Asia and the climbing record gas slurping in North America, we don't see any action yet.
The punishing heat blanketing the eastern half of the U.S. is turning ordinary situations dangerous.
This guy wept and told us Earth was really dying. Cried so much his face was wet. Then I knew he was not lying. I heard telephones, opera house, favorite melodies. I saw boys, toys, electric irons and TVs. My brain hurt like a warehouse. It had no room to spare. I had to cram so many things to store everything in there.
The heat index in New York City could get up to 114 today. All across the East Coast, residents are being urged to set their air conditioners at 78, not to use their dishwashers or washing machines in the middle of the day.
the supply of food and fuel from abroad that we depend on a great deal on our island, but for us, that supply is going to start drying up before long because of climate change.
And as George Monbiot says, we won't be able to afford international trade because of the cost of shipping, the cost of fuel.
Exactly. He's absolutely right. And so we've got to do everything to go back to a World War II condition of being self-sufficient.
Busker Satchel Adams chose to look on the brighter side.
I've never been in hotter times than these, I don't think. It's a great time to sing.
It's, again, I keep repeating this, a wake-up call to make people realize how bad things are. I'm not trying to imply there's nothing we can do. I don't know whether cutting back fuel burning and emissions will do as much as is often claimed. It may be that we've reached a point, and in systems you do reach a point, where it will just proceed of its own accord to a final hot state, regardless of what we do. I don't know. This is a real danger that's there, and we must take it into account. We'd be irresponsible if we didn't.
You've been listening to interview clips with James Lovelock, taken from Late Night Live, produced by ABC Australia, as well as a BBC 4 production. There's also news clips from ABC, CBS, and CBC News, and Deutsche Welle's Living Planet. This report is from Radio EcoShock, that's ECO, shock like an electric shock, .org. It's free environmental radio, 24/7, tune in. And we fade out with the amazing David Bowie from his 1970s album, where he said we only had 5 years. He was wrong then, is he right now? So long, we got 5 years.